Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to this comedy edition of the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Well, the ever-popular Jack Benny is going to be featured today, and one of his sidekicks as well, who had his own program. Jack's show will be he will listen to the Mean Old Man on the Radio from 1954, and then that sidekick is named Dennis Day. He's got his own program. His show, we'll hear, is called The Masquerade Ball. That's from 1946. But right now, The Jack Benny Show from 1954.
The Jack Benny Program, transcribed and presented by Lucky Strike.
Lucky's taste better,
cleaner, fresher, smoother.
Lucky's taste better,
cleaner, fresher, smoother. For Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, richer tasting, fine tobacco.
Lucky's taste better,
cleaner, fresher, smoother. Lucky Strike, Lucky Strike.
This is Don Wilson, friends. You know, recently a cigarette ad appeared in a well-known national magazine. Perhaps you saw it. Near the top of it were the words, "I don't have to smoke Lucky's." Those were the words of the man whose picture was in the ad, Mr. Robert Montgomery, whose TV show is sponsored by Lucky Strike. In the ad, Mr. Montgomery said that there was nothing in his contract that said he had to smoke Lucky's. He smoked them, and had for years, because he liked the way they taste. That makes sense. Smoking enjoyment is all a matter of taste. And as Mr. Montgomery and many millions of other smokers will tell you, Lucky's taste better. Cleaner, fresher, smoother. Taste better because they're made with fine, naturally mild tobacco. And they're made round and firm and fully packed. Made to taste better. Just remember that the next time you buy cigarettes and ask for a pack of Lucky Strike. You'll find Lucky's give you real smoking enjoyment. Because they do taste better.
Lucky's taste better.
Cleaner, fresher, smoother. Lucky Strike! Lucky Strike!
The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight Jack Benny does another television show with his guest stars Bing Crosby and George Burns. But meanwhile, let's go out to Jack's house in Beverly Hills. I know he's home, so if you'll just follow me, we'll go in and pay Jack a visit.
And you needn't ask me to leave because you're going to sit there and listen to what I've got to say.
Oh, we better not go in. There seems to be some sort of a commotion going on.
I haven't told you half what's on my mind. And believe me, I'm talking for everybody in this neighborhood. When you first moved in, we thought you were a nice, gentle, kindly old man. But before we knew it, you had the mortgages on all our houses. Oh, I don't blame you for not saying anything. All you can do is sit there with your mouth open. And why? Because even you know that that last trick you pulled was the cheapest, most abominable thing anybody ever did. Imagine putting a woman with 7 children out on the sidewalk because she missed one payment.
Rochester, turn off the radio.
You have just heard another episode of that thrilling story, The Mean Old Man. In tomorrow's episode, you will hear the true story.
Thanks, Rochester.
I don't know why you listen to that program, boss. It always upsets you.
Well, I don't know where they get those fantastic ideas for radio programs. Nobody can be that cheap.
Well...
And that corny title, The Mean Old Man. It's ridiculous.
I'll get it. Mr. Benny's residence, star of stage, screen, radio, television, and the only laundry service that... Oh! Hello, Miss Livingston. I almost wasted a commercial on you. Yeah, I'll put it on. It's Miss Livingston, boss.
Thanks. Hello, Mary. How do you feel? What? 100? Mary, that's awful. Oh, your temperature. I thought you meant the doctor bill. Anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better. And Mary, what? Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'll call you tomorrow. Goodbye.
What'd she thank you for, boss?
Well, everybody's been sending her flowers and fruit and candy, and so I thought I'd be a little different.
What did you send her?
A bowl of chili. It's good in this nippy weather. Yeah? Anyway, it looks like Miss Livingston will be back on the program next week. I'll get it. Da-da-dee-da-dum, da-dum-da-dee, da-dum-da-dee-da-da-dum. Well, hello, Mr. Brown.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I'm sorry I'm 3 days late with the rent on our house, but here it is.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, our hot water heater is leaking. You think maybe you could have it fixed?
Well, plumbing costs are awfully high now.
I guess they are. But it's been months since you promised to paint the living room.
Well,
I fixed the hole in the roof myself.
Good, good.
Well, I guess I'll be running along. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Brown, how's your wife? What's she doing now?
Oh, haven't you heard? She writes that radio program, The Mean Old Man.
Oh, yeah, I listen to it every day. Your wife has quite an imagination.
Yeah, imagination. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye.
Who was it, boss?
Mr. Brown from Long Beach.
Oh, you know, he's been complaining a long time about a hole in the roof.
It's fixed, it's fixed.
Boss, I don't remember you sending anyone down to fix it.
If I say it's fixed, it's fixed. If you don't believe me, listen to tomorrow's episode and you'll find out. By the way, Rochester, has my television script arrived from CBS?
No, not yet, boss.
My director, Ralph Levy, will be here soon to go over it with me. I wonder what's holding it up. Oh, that must be it now. Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, it's you, Dennis. Come on in.
Well, thank you.
How do you feel, kid?
Fine, thanks.
How are your folks?
They're fine, too.
That's good.
Especially my father. After 6 months, they finally took the cast off his foot.
In a cast for 6 months? Dennis, what was wrong with your father's foot?
Nothing. He stepped into a bucket of cement.
Look, Dennis, look, kid. I can understand your father stepping in a bucket of cement. I can almost understand him standing there letting the cement dry. But why would he keep it on his foot for 6 months?
My mother made him.
What?
When he stayed out late at night, he couldn't tiptoe into the house.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. Imagine your mother making him keep his foot in a bucket for 6 months.
2 weeks ago, it came in handy.
How?
Well, they were invited to a masquerade, and Papa went as a potted palm.
Look, kid, do me a favor, will you?
What?
As long as you got your mouth open, sing. Don't talk.
Okay.
Thank you.
Here we sit, enjoying the shade.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Drink the drink that I have made.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Tell you why the day is sunny. I'm in love with lips of honey. Wait till you see the way she walks.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
La, 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 la. She is coming here to stay.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
I have waited for this day.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
She writes of love in every letter. Others have tried, but I will get her. Wait till you see the way she walks.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
What is life? What is spring? What are all the stars that shine? Love, my friend, is everything. And love will soon be mine. Pour it as quickly as you can.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Pour it quickly once again.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
She's here at last, my one and only. Goodbye, friends, don't be lonely. Wait till you see the way she walks.
Hey, brother, pour the wine. La, 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 la.
Hey, brother, for the wine. Hers was never meant to last. Hey, brother, pour the wine. She introduced me to another. No, my friends, he's not her brother. I will miss the way she walks.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
As quickly as you can.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Pour it quickly once again.
Hey, brother, pour the wine. Pour the wine. Pour the wine.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Dennis. Dennis, that was very, very good.
Thank you.
You know, I can't understand you, kid. You come in here and talk. When you talk, you sound so ridiculous. Then you sing, and when you sing, you're a completely different person. What are you, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Uh-huh, and each one has his own show.
What?
The doctor's on another network.
Oh, yes.
Well, so long, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, kid.
Oh, say, Mr. Benny.
What now?
Can I have your permission to do a guest spot tomorrow on a dramatic program?
Dramatic program? What's the name of it?
The Mean Old Man. They've got a wonderful part for me where I fix a hole in the roof.
Well, do it. Do it. Goodbye. Oh, Rochester, are you sure my television script hasn't arrived?
Not yet.
Well, I'm going to call CBS and see what's holding it up.
CBS, the star's address. What? All right, all right. You don't have to shout. The line is busy now. Hold on. Who is it, Gertrude? Jack Benny. He wants I should get him the mimeograph department. So why were you so fresh with him? Why was I so fresh with him? The other night he called and asked me if he could pick me up and take me dancing at the Macombo. And then he got mad because when he called for me, I was wearing my overalls. Well, I don't blame him for being mad. Why would you wear overalls to the Macombo? Who gets to the Macombo? I always wind up fixing his car. Well, you're better off than I am.
Why?
I'm not mechanical-minded. I have to get out and push.
Have you been out with Jack lately?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. He took me to a nightclub. We sat at a corner table. The lights were low, and he got so romantic.
What'd he do?
He had the waiter fill my slipper with champagne.
Gosh, 3 quarts. Did he drink it?
Yeah, he stuck a straw through the open toe.
Gee, you must have had the happiest feet in town.
Yeah, but you know what I've been thinking? Maybe we shouldn't be so fussy about men.
Nah, I guess you're right. After all, we're not getting any younger.
Speak for yourself, John. I'm only 23.
23? Then how did you get that medal for sticking to your switchboard during the San Francisco fire?
It wasn't me. I mean... Oh, why should I lie? You were there.
Yes? I'm sorry, Mr. Benny. The line is still busy. Your television script? Yeah, I'll tell them. Goodbye.
That mimeograph department drives me nuts. That script should have been here hours. Oh, maybe that's it. Come in. Oh, hello, Don.
Hello, Jack.
Don, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing.
Now, Don, don't try to kid me. There's something bothering you. What is it?
Oh, it's the sportsman quartet. They're mad at me.
The four of them?
Yeah, they're outside and they won't come in because I'm here.
Well, that's ridiculous. Come on in, fellas. Hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
Say they won't talk to me.
You have such a wonderful idea for next week's commercial, haven't you, boys?
Have you? Well, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Don, why are they mad at you?
They found out that you pay me more money than you pay them.
Well, that's a fine thing to be mad about.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. I think they've got a point there.
Well, Don, if you feel that strongly about it, there should be an adjustment. How much am I paying the quartet now?
$100 a week.
No. Well, Don, if it'll make you feel better, starting next week, I'll cut you down to the same. Okay?
Thanks, Jack. That solves the whole thing. Now there won't be any more trouble.
It's amazing that I didn't think of that myself. Well, Don, now that it's all settled, what's this song the boys have?
Well, Jack, this is the first time they've seen you since you got back from New York, and they've rehearsed a special greeting for you.
A greeting for me?
Yeah. Sing it to him, fellas.
Hello, hello. All day long we jump and run about. Surely you have heard us shouting out, hello, blue eyes. Now we'll all be eating once again. Every week we'll earn $1.10. Hello, blue eyes. Did your coonskin coat keep you warm? Did your new earmuffs help in that storm? Now you're home, we're feeling fine again. Please don't roam me 39 again. Hello, blue eyes, hello. We've done everything that you asked. We plowed up your lawn, as you've seen. We raked and we hoed and we planted in rows the coffee you sent, every bean. We worked from morn till night, and then a lucky we would like. What a thrill to hear the neighbor shout when we'd pull that pack of luckies out. Oh boy, lucky. Round and firm and oh so fully packed. Lucky's always pleasing, that's a fact. Hello, lucky. Much smoother too, and Lucky's taste much better, it's true. People go for LSMFT. People know that they are sure to be happy with Lucky's. That's why we're saying be happy, go Lucky Strike today.
Hey, that was wonderful, fellas, wonderful. Say, Don, now I'd like to hear the number they're going to do on next Sunday's show.
Oh, Jack, the sportsmen can't wait any longer now. They're appearing at the Statler Hotel here in Los Angeles, and they have to get over there and rehearse some new numbers.
Oh.
So long, Jack.
Goodbye, Don.
I don't want no ricochet romance. I don't want no ricochet love.
Well, I saved a little money by cutting Don's salary, but I lost a little, too. After all, I'm his agent. Let's see. Oh, Rochester, I'd like you to take the car and pick up my suit at the cleaners.
But, boss, we haven't had the Maxwell all week.
We haven't?
No, don't you remember? You told me that any time the movie studios wanted to rent it, I should let them have it.
Oh, so you rented it. What picture is it going to be in?
Ben-Hur.
What?
It comes in second in a chariot race.
Second, eh? Gosh, I hope they don't whip it too hard. Well, you have to take the... Rochester, someone's at the door.
I'll get it.
Okay. Gee, that Ben-Hur is a great story. I remember the first time they made the picture. They begged me to be in it. Eh, who wanted to be Francis X. Bushman's father? He had so few lines. Rochester, who's there?
It's your TV director, Mr. Ralph Levy.
Oh, come in, Ralph. Come on in.
How are you, Jack?
Fine, fine. Here, have a seat, Ralph. See, there seems to be a delay in Mimeo with the TV script, but they should be delivering it any minute now.
Jack.
And as soon as it gets here, we can put on, we'll put in what few minor little changes you might have in no time at all.
Yeah, Jack.
Because, Ralph, this is one script that I have complete confidence in. I worked on it from the start. It's got just the feel, the flavor that I want.
Jack, the script isn't being mimeographed.
What?
That's right, Jack. I read it this morning, and I just couldn't let it go through.
What do you mean you couldn't let it go through?
Well, Jack, in my opinion, this script is nothing. To start with, the situation is weak, and it goes no place. There's no action, no movement. It's a completely static thing. And what humor there is old hat and corny. In fact, I can't remember when I've read anything that's so obviously amateurish.
Well.
And that's not only my opinion, it's also the opinion of my assistant Dick Fisher, of my entire technical staff, of the head of BBDNO, and of the chief of CBS Network Television.
Oh, yeah? Well, I showed it to my butcher at Safeway this morning, and he was nuts about it.
Your butcher? Well, what does he know about comedy?
Plenty. He directed The Horn Blows at Midnight. So if you're going to drag in experts, I got some on my side, too.
That's right, boss. Tell them about Mr. Carroll P. Craig.
Yeah. He liked the script, and he happens to be a writer who gets $10,000 a page.
Well, that's funny. I never heard of him. What did he ever write to get $10,000 a page?
He won the I Can't Stand Jack Benny contest. Now, Ralph, I still say this is a funny script, and for the life of me, I don't understand your objections.
Well, if you're so positive, maybe I was wrong. Look, I've got the script right here in my briefcase. Let's have another glance at it.
Good.
Let's see now. The page of first is... Say, this is pretty funny stuff.
I told you, Ralph, this is a funny script.
That's a wonderful line.
Certainly. Believe me, Ralph, when it comes to judging comedy, I'm seldom wrong.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe... Oh, now, wait a minute. This isn't your script.
Huh?
This is the one for the radio show I direct.
Radio? What radio show?
The Mean Old Man. I must remember to tell that writer to fix the hole in her roof. Lately, all her scripts are coming in soaked. But that's no problem of yours, Jack.
No, no.
Now, let's see now. Where did I put... Oh, yes, here's a TV script.
Good. Now, Ralph, I'm short. Rochester, would you get that, please?
Mr. Benny's residence? Yes? Yes, I see. All right, goodbye.
Who was that, Rochester?
Your butcher.
Oh, the one that likes my script?
He started over and changed his mind.
I don't know why I even go to him. There must be dozens of butchers around town who've directed me in pictures. You've been reading the script. What's bothering you?
Well, in these first five pages, Jack, the only thing that's even remotely funny is the bit with the orchestra, and we can't do that.
With the orchestra, boys? Why not?
Well, Jack, you know very well we're not allowed to put the camera on your orchestra. There are 40 million people watching.
But, Ralph, it's all right to show the boys on television. I got a clearance from the musicians' union.
I don't care. You're on at night, and some of those 40 million people will be eating.
So we'll take out that bit. One routine doesn't make a script bad.
I'll get it. Mr. Benny's residence. Oh, yes, Mr. Leroy. What's that? All right, I'll tell him. Goodbye.
Rochester, was that Mervyn Leroy, the director?
Yeah, he called to say he doesn't like your television script.
Doesn't like it, but I never even sent him a copy.
Well, he said he got it by accident.
Accident?
Yeah, this morning he was at the Safeway and bought a pound of halibut and your script was wrapped around it.
That nice, fresh script around a smelly halibut.
Mr. Leroy put it the opposite way.
I don't care how he put it, I still think it's a good script.
Well, now, don't misunderstand me, Jack. There are some good things in it. But unfortunately, the whole idea is wrong. The whole script is based on your being cheap.
But, Ralph, with the character I portray, people expect me to do cheap things.
I know, and that's fine for radio. But in television, the audience sees you standing there. You have to be a little true to life, or nobody will believe it.
Well...
Now, look. Here you have a show starting with two strangers knocking on the door of your big Beverly Hills mansion to ask directions. And you invite them in for lunch and then charge them for that. Which is practically making a restaurant out of your home. Then you show them around the grounds, and when the man accidentally falls in the pool, you charge him a quarter for swimming. And to top it off, when he starts to sneeze, you insist on giving him penicillin at $5 a shot. Now, really, Jack, nobody could be that cheap.
Ralph, you're absolutely right. How could we expect anyone to actually look at me and believe that I could do things like that?
Well, that's my point, Jack. And until we can fix this script so you aren't cheap, and more like you really are, we haven't got anything.
Okay, Ralph. I'll call my writers immediately. We'll throw out everything and get a whole new idea.
Good. Now, for a plot, I was thinking maybe we could do a...
Boss! Boss! The Bayhound bus is here!
Oh, my goodness, they're 5 minutes early. Rochester, dust off the sandwich display and turn up the flame under the soup.
As I was saying, Jack...
All right, don't forget to push the rice pudding.
Push it, I'll push it.
Now, Ralph, you were saying...
Yes, Jack, I feel that if we could...
Here they come, Rochester. Don't crowd, folks. There's plenty for everyone.
Here, Ralph, folks. New sandwiches and featuring Uncle Jack's rice pudding.
Why didn't you come over here and eat with me?
I can't. The chain on my spoon won't reach that far. What kind of a clip joint is this? You gotta pay extra to get mustard on your hot dog.
Ed, that's nothing. The last time I was in here, I accidentally fell in the pool and they charged me for swimming.
Don't crowd, folks. Thank you. Here's your change.
Jack, I don't...
Excuse me, Ralph. You're standing in front of the pennants. Here you are, folks. Souvenirs of Beverly Hills. Pennants, picture postcards...
Jack, if you listen to me for a minute, I could tell you what I was thinking.
Rochester, there goes one in the pool. You fish him out. I'll get the penicillin.
Here you are, folks. Get your hot dogs and cold drinks. Get your hot dogs and cold drinks.
Ralph, why are you helping me?
I figure if you can't fight it, join it. Here you are, folks. Get your cold drinks. Get your hot dogs.
Yes, sir. Don't forget Uncle Jack's rice pudding. Step right up, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be back in just a minute to tell you about my television show that goes on tonight at 7 p.m. over the CBS network with my guest stars, Bing Crosby and George Burns. But first, a word to cigarette smokers.
Lucky's taste better.
Cleaner, fresher, smoother.
Lucky's taste better.
Cleaner, fresher, smoother. For Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, richer tasting, fine tobacco.
Lucky's taste better.
Cleaner, fresher, smoother. Lucky Strike, Lucky Strike.
Friends, as a smoker, you know how vitally important freshness is to your enjoyment of a cigarette. Well, the makers of Lucky's know that, too. That's why every pack of Lucky's is extra tightly sealed, to keep in the better taste that has made Lucky's famous. Yes, any Lucky smoker will tell you that Lucky's taste better. Not only fresher, but cleaner and smoother, too. That's because fine, naturally mild, good-tasting tobacco goes into every Lucky. As you know, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And Lucky's are definitely made better. Made round and firm and fully packed to draw freely and smoke evenly. Yes, fine tobacco in a better-made cigarette just naturally adds up to better taste for you. So next time you buy cigarettes, try a carton of Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, get better taste today.
Say, Jack, is it true that on your television show tonight you're having both Bing Crosby and George Burns as guest stars?
Yes, and I hope George is in a better mood than he has been the last few days. He's had a little trouble with the income tax department.
Why?
They wouldn't let him take Gracie off as a dependent.
We'll be right back. Jack Benny Show tonight was written by Milt Josephsberg, John Tackerberry, Hal Goldman, Al Gordon, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks. The Jack Benny program is brought to you by Lucky Strike, product of the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes.
Stay tuned now for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately over most of these same stations of the CBS radio network.
And KNX AM and FM, Los Angeles.
That was the Mean Old Man on the Jack Benny Show, and some of Jack's co-stars were famous in their own right. The singer on the program that you heard earlier was Dennis Day, and Dennis was popular enough to have his own show on the radio. We're going to listen to it right now. It's called The Dennis Day Show. This is called The Masquerade Ball from 1946.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new Dennis Day program with Sharon Douglas, Verna Felton, Dink Trout, John Brown, Joe Kearns, Lee Benadarit, Jerry Hausner, Charles Stanton and the orchestra, and starring the popular young singer of the Jack Benny Show in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. And now here's Dennis singing, Take Care.
Take care when you say take care, oh. Your lips may impart sweeter things than your heart means to say. Take care when you say take care, oh. Don't whisper tonight words that fade in the light of the day. Who knows if the spell we're under will still be as strong when the moon is no longer there. A heart that's weighed in a moment such as this may be betrayed by the madness of a kiss. When you say take care, oh, take
Yes, that was the beautiful voice of Dennis Day. But exactly what sort of person is our hero? Well, suppose we ask some of the folks of Weaverville, where Dennis lives and works. They know him best. For example, there's his boss, Mr. Willoughby, who owns the drugstore where Dennis jerks sodas. Mr. Willoughby, how do you feel about Dennis?
Dennis Day? Well, when I first met Dennis and hired him to work behind my fountain, I wasn't sure whether he was a soda jerk or not. But I knew he was some kind.
Yeah. Now, how about a few words from Mildred, Dennis's girlfriend?
I think Dennis is a perfect love. It's just that no one understands him. People in this town judge other people by how much money they have or how many brains. Either way, it's very unfair to Dennis.
All right, suppose we hear from Mildred's mother now, Mrs. Anderson, who runs the boarding house in which Dennis lives.
Dennis Day will never amount to anything. He has no ambition, no gumption, and very little sense. My daughter thinks she's in love with him, but it's only because he reminds her of her father.
Well, Mr. Anderson, what do you say to that?
Any opinions expressed by me on any subject whatsoever are necessarily those of my wife.
Well, how about a fellow boarder at the Anderson Menage? Mr. Snedeker, how do you feel about Dennis Day?
Don't mention Dennis Day's name to me. I ought to tear him limb from limb. Wants to borrow my car, he says, so he can drive his girlfriend Mildred over to pick up her costume for the masquerade party tonight. Why did I give it to him? Because I'm a big, fat, good-natured slob, that's why. And what happens? What happens to my car? I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, Dennis!
Did you see that? That parked car ran right into me. Golly, it's going to cost me $25 for Mr. Snedeker's fender, Mildred. Where am I going to get $25?
Well, haven't you saved any money out of your salary at the drugstore?
I've only had the job 2 days. Anyhow, with taxes what they are, I couldn't possibly save more than $6 a week.
Well, how much is your salary?
$6 a week.
Well, we've just got to think of something. If Mr. Snedeker tells Mama, she's liable to throw you out of her boarding house. And I don't know where you'd get another room with this housing shortage.
Gee, I'd hate to lose that comfortable room I share with Mr. Appling, Mr. Moore, Mr. Ryan, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Greenberg, Mr. Erickson, Mr. Kerrigan, Mr. Calfleisch, and the Cooper brothers. Especially this week when it's my turn to sleep in the bed.
Well, we just got to raise the money somehow. Mr. Snedeker said if he didn't get his $25, he'd murder you.
Oh, yeah? I'd just like to see him try it, that's all.
What would you do?
What could I do? I'd be dead. But the police would do plenty.
Dennis, if you don't mind, I'd rather he got his money. Oh, if I could only win the prize at the masquerade tonight.
Huh?
You know, the silver cup for the most outstanding costume. Oh, we could get $25 for it easily.
Well, gosh, maybe you will win, Mildred.
Oh, I haven't a chance. Mama picked out a perfect stinker of a costume for me. Betsy Ross. Now I ask you, Betsy Ross.
That does stink a little. Gee, I just finished a book about a girl who'd make a wonderful character at a masquerade. A somewhat different type from Betsy Ross, of course.
Oh, what book was that?
It was called Forever Amber.
Forever Amber?
Yes, it's a very absorbing book. It took me months and months to get through it, but I finally finished it.
Well, why did it take you so long?
I kept going back over it to see if I'd read right. Very educational reading. You know, Mildred, it's very educational reading for a young fellow like myself, though. Believe me, I learned plenty about the London fire.
Golly, you know, I'll bet Amber would win that cup in a walk. Dennis, I'll do it.
You mean you'll go to the masquerade as Amber?
Exactly.
Gee, you're liable to catch an awful cold.
Don't be silly. Now, what can I do with that costume? Cut out the sleeves, lower the neckline, make it slinky and tight-fitting.
I don't think Betsy Ross would like this.
Oh, gee, Dennis, I'm sure it can be done. Look, I'll go right to work on the costume. Oh, but there's some other things I'll need, and you'll have to get them for me.
Okay.
Now, let's see, I'll need a tiara for my hair,
uh-huh.
Earrings,
mm-hmm.
A pair of black lace step-ins, some exotic perfume.
Ooh, what you said.
Exotic perfume?
No, the one before that.
Now, look, you can get everything in the same place. There's a little shop on Elm Street called Yvette of Paris. Ask for Mademoiselle Yvette herself and tell her what you want.
You think she'll believe me?
Well, tell her that for me. She knows my size and everything. Remember, Mademoiselle Yvette. Now, hurry.
Hello.
Hello.
Could I see Mademoiselle Yvette of Paris, please?
You're talking to the mademoiselle in person already.
You're Mademoiselle Yvette?
But oui. Something I could do for the monsieur yet?
Gee, you have the most peculiar accent. What part of France are you from?
France, he says. Mademoiselle Yvette is just a name on the door.
Then you're not really from Paris?
Listen, the last time I saw Paris, it was holding up mine husband's socks. Now, is there something I could do for you?
Well, yes, there is. Mildred Anderson asked me to get some things for her. A tiara for her hair, a pair of earrings, some exotic perfume.
Yes.
And a pair of black lace. Black lace.
What's the matter? You're bashful.
Yeah.
You mean a pair of these?
Oh, put them down. Put them down.
So what's the matter? Why are you getting excited? There's nobody in them.
I know, but I got a vivid imagination. Anyway, she doesn't want that kind. She wants black lace.
Black lace, huh? Is black lace becoming already in Weaverville de rigueur?
De rigueur?
It's a little thing I picked up from Charles Boyer. It means stylish.
Oh, I see. You pick up little things from Charles Boyer, huh?
All the time. It should happen to mine husband. Okay, anything else?
No, that's all.
All right, I'll wrap everything up together. I'll be back in 1 minute.
Gee, these pink ones are kind of cute. I wonder if... No. Still, they might. I'll ask Mademoiselle Yvette. No, it's ridiculous. I'm sure they don't make them for men.
That'll be $11.50.
$11 and... Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid you'll have to charge it.
Charge it? Who to?
Why, to Mrs. Anderson, Mildred's mother. She's a customer of yours, isn't she?
Yeah. I guess it'll be all right. Here.
Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I wonder. Hello, Mrs. Anderson. This is Yvette of Paris. Look, Yvette of Paris. Yvette of... Rena Feinschreiber, who makes for you the corsets. Look, a young man was just here who bought for your daughter some very fancy schmancy underwear. And I was wondering...
I saw you standing in the sun, and you were something to see. I know what I like, and I like what I saw, and I said to myself...
Hello, Mrs. Anderson.
Good evening, Dennis. It may interest you to know that I just had a phone call from Mademoiselle Yvette.
Oh, really?
I have also had a little talk with my daughter Mildred.
Oh, really?
I found out she intended going to tonight's masquerade dressed as a certain brazen hussy.
Oh, really?
She is not going to the masquerade at all. I've locked her in her room.
Oh.
Dennis, if you say, oh, really again, I shall scream.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, really?
I also found out that the idea of going as this Amber came from you.
Oh, no, ma'am. I just happened to mention...
Nevertheless, Dennis, Mr. Anderson and I feel it's about time someone had a serious talk with you. Normally, of course, that's the duty of the head of the family.
Yes, ma'am.
But my husband has offered to do it instead.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll leave. And you two may talk this over, man to... boy... Well, whatever the two of you are, talk it over.
Good evening, Dennis.
Oh, hello, Mr. Anderson. I didn't see you sitting there. I guess your wife had you blocked off.
Been that way for 22 years. My wife is pretty excited about Mildred wanting to go to the party as Amber, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Anderson never let me read Forever Amber. She said it was no book for a man with funny ideas in his head.
Oh, have you got funny ideas in your head?
No, but she said I would have if I read it.
That's silly. I read it, and I haven't got any idea of any kind in my head.
Well, this Amber, Dennis, what sort of a girl is she?
Oh, you know, companionable, good mixer, makes friends easily.
Yes, I understand she's quite friendly. Oh, well.
Yes, sir.
But we certainly don't want Mildred pretending she's such a character, even for a masquerade, do we, Dennis?
No, sir.
We want Mildred to grow up the kind of a woman that her mother is, don't we?
No, sir.
I say we want Mildred to grow up the kind of a woman her mother is, don't we?
No, sir.
You know... Oh, Dennis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Mrs. Anderson undoubtedly has many good qualities, but she does boss you around quite a bit.
Well, all women boss you around, Dennis. Some do it quietly and sweetly. Some, like my wife, do it loudly and firmly. But they all boss you around.
Golly, maybe the world would be better off if there weren't any women, just men and children.
What a beautiful thought. Well, I hope you've gotten something out of this little talk, Dennis.
Yes, sir, I have.
I know I have. I'm going to read that Forever Amber if it takes me the next 10 years. And if it's what I think it is, who cares?
Yes, sir. Well, I'll be getting back to Mademoiselle Yvette with this stuff. We won't need it now. Bye, Mr. Anderson.
Bye, Dennis.
Janet.
Huh?
Dennis, over here.
Mildred.
Quick, climb through the window and don't let Mama see you.
But what?
Hurry and hand me that box. Here. Easy. You heard what Mama said about the party, huh?
Yeah. She won't let you go.
I know. She took one look at what I did to this Betsy Ross costume and nearly fainted.
Gosh, you did make it kind of daring. Well, I guess we'll never get that $25 now.
And why not? This cup is for the most outstanding costume, isn't it? Isn't this costume outstanding?
Yes, but there's no one to wear it.
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, what do you intend to... Oh. Oh, no. No, Mildred, don't look at me like that.
Oh, Dennis, don't be that way. You'll make a beautiful Amber.
But how can I be a girl? Girls are built differently than I am. I'm taller.
Well, notice that. I guarantee that in this dress and wig, no one will be able to tell you from Amber.
I bet I could never fool Charles the First. No, Mildred, I won't do it.
Dennis, think of Mr. Snedeker's fender. Think of the $25. Think of the housing shortage.
All I can think of is black lace. Black lace.
They're step-ins.
It isn't how I get in, it's how I feel after I'm there.
All right, Dennis. I guess I shouldn't have asked you. Forget it.
Mildred, I
thought I meant something to you. I thought you'd do it for my sake. I was wrong.
Oh, Mildred, stop. I can't stand seeing anyone cry.
You don't care if Mama throws you out of the house and we never see each other again. You don't care.
Mildred, I can't stand here and see a woman cry like that. There's only one thing I can do.
Yes?
I'm going to get out of here.
Dennis, hey. You come back here. We're going to win that cup and pay off Mr. Snedeker. Now go in the bathroom and get those clothes off.
But, Mildred...
Here, take all this and put it on. And when you come out, I'll fix your makeup.
You mean I have to put all this on?
Yes.
Mildred, I read another book once about a wonderful character named Abraham Lincoln. All I need is a beard and a short pair of stilts, and I'm sure that...
Get into that bathroom.
Yes, ma'am. Gee, my mother always wanted a girl, but this is ridiculous. Well, I finally got the costume on, Mildred. How do I look?
Well, let's see. It's not too bad. Except you're a little lumpy in the wrong places. Walk toward me and slink like Anders.
I'm afraid to. This dress is too tight. One slink and I'm slunk.
Well, it is tight. Didn't you put on that girdle I gave you?
No.
Why not?
I couldn't get it over my head.
Oh, Dennis, they don't go over your head. Don't you know how to put on a girdle?
I'm afraid not. I've spent most of my life as a boy.
But what on earth makes you look so lumpy from your hips down?
Oh, that's my long underwear.
You didn't take that off?
You think I want to catch cold? There's a terrible draft through this thing.
Dennis, you didn't have to keep your flannels on. I gave you those black lace step-ins to wear.
I know, but I stepped into them wrong. They're black lace kilts now.
Well. Sit still now. I'm going to put on your makeup.
Okay.
First, a little mascara. There we are. Now, some powder.
Hey! Watch where you put that stuff.
You're supposed to keep your mouth closed.
Golly, if men were girls, we'd never bother with all this stuff.
If men were girls, we wouldn't either. Now, look, Dennis, hold still while I put on your lipstick, and we're all set. There we are.
How am I?
Why, Dennis, you're absolutely ravishing. Honestly, you're gorgeous.
Gee, really?
Just go over and take a look in that mirror.
Okay. Pardon me, miss. Would you mind stepping aside? Oh, that's me.
Of course it is. Well?
Gee, I am kind of desirable.
Oh, Dennis, I just know you're going to win that prize. Oh, now, look, we haven't much time. Here's the keys to my father's car. Slip out the window the same way you got in.
You'll have to boost me up. I don't dare bend over in this dress.
All right. Oh, I do hope you win, Dennis. There. And please, please be careful of Daddy's car.
I will, Mildred. Gee, I did look like an awfully cute girl in that mirror. Not my type, of course, but some men like them. Oh, golly, here comes the man. Here's my chance to find out how I look. I'll drop my handkerchief and see what happens.
Oh, pardon me. Did you drop this handkerchief?
Why, yes. How careless of me.
Well, here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're really too kind.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, say, by the way.
Yes?
You got a match, buddy?
Hello, Mr. Willoughby.
Hello, Dennis. Oh, I beg your pardon, miss. When I heard your voice, I thought you were a boy who works for me.
I do. I'm Dennis.
Well, by George. I'd certainly never know you in that dress and with a mask on. Say, who are you supposed to be, Dennis?
I'm Amber. You know, the book, Forever Amber.
Oh. I may have read it. It sort of escapes my memory.
Then you didn't read it. Say, Mr. Willoughby, when do the judges judge the costumes? It's 10 o'clock, and I got to get out of here before I get that 5 o'clock shadow.
Huh?
Twice.
Oh. Well, the man who's judging the costumes hasn't arrived yet, and by George, I wish he'd get here. If he...
There's someone coming in the door now, Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, yes, good, that's him, and high time, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Something wrong, Dennis?
The judge of the costumes. It's Mr. Snedeker.
That's right, he's coming over here now.
Mr. Willoughby, I can't stay here. If he sees me, he'll punch me right in my mascara.
Oh, he won't recognize you in that outfit any more than I did.
But my voice...
I'll tell him you're a foreigner. Speak to him in Spanish.
I don't know a word in Spanish.
Neither does he. You're perfectly safe. Mr. Snedeker, right over here, please.
Oh, sorry to be late, Willoughby. That imbecile who works for you wrecked my car, and I had a devil of a time getting a taxi. If I ever get my hands on that young, I beg your pardon. What have we here?
Uh-oh.
Mr. Snedeker, may I present Senorita Lolita Del Rio? The senorita just got here from Chile.
Well, I'm delighted, senorita, delighted.
Hacienda, senor.
Well, now, if you two will excuse me, I have a great many things to attend to.
Oh, no, don't leave us, Senor Willoughby.
I'm afraid I must. Adios.
But, Senor Willoughby...
Oh, let him go. Much cozier with just the two of us. Senorita.
Oh, tico, tico, senor.
Well, well, so you're from Chile. You don't look very chilly to me. I'll bet you're a dream, all right, underneath that mask. How about a peek, huh?
Oh, no, senor.
Oh, come on, a teensy-weensy little peek.
No, senor, not until the price for the winning costume has been giving out.
Oh, I see what you mean, my little enchilada.
I thought you would, my great big cucamonga.
Speaking as the official judge, I think your costume has an excellent chance.
Oh, thank you, senor.
Yes, an excellent chance. Are you married, senorita?
No.
Neither am I, you know what I mean?
See, but I doubt if anything will come of it.
I don't know. I waited a long time for the right girl to come along. Who can say I'm not looking into her eyes right now?
Me.
Huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time to award the trophy for tonight's outstanding costume.
That is, if our judge, Mr. Snedeker, has a winner picked out.
I sure have, eh, my little beauty?
Oh, Senor Snedeker.
Folks, your attention, please. Now, after a careful study of every costume here tonight, I take pleasure in awarding this beautiful silver cup to the little lady on my left.
Oh, what was that name again, Senorita?
Dennis Day.
Senorita Dennis Day. Well, my little tamale, are you satisfied now? You can take this lovely silver cup back to... Senorita who?
Dennis Day.
You! Why, you are alive!
Mr. Snedeker, please! Calm down. Don't get excited.
Don't get excited? Why, I was going to propose to you.
It's all right. I didn't accept.
Didn't accept?
No, Mr. Snedeker. If you'd like to withdraw your offer of marriage now, believe me, I'll understand.
Why? Let me at him! Let me at him!
Mr. Snedeker,
let
please!
Let me at him!
Dennis Day returns to sing the beautiful ballad All Through the Day.
I sit alone in the golden daylight. But all I see is a silver sky. For in my fancy I sweep away life and keep my image of the sky just the way we like it, you and
with us next week for another in the series of Dennis Day programs. More songs, more adventures in the life of our star, Dennis Day, who'll be back when you hear... Zip Corning speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.